Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Kelly Leonard joins us. Welcome back, Kelly. How have you been? Haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. I'm doing pretty good. How are you, John?
I'm doing real well. Kelly is the executive vice president of Second City, and he frequently talks to us about Chicago businesses, Chicago organizations, and lately how they are relating to the COVID-19 crisis. So where are you taking us today, Kelly?
I'm going to talk to you about empathy. Are you up for that?
Well, I think we all need a little bit of that. I mean, look at what I just...
I think from the previous story indicates that various people don't have empathy for each other.
Yeah. But I mean, I know you talk to a lot of people and you post those conversations on your podcast. So is that it? I need to be more empathetic, or maybe they need to be more empathetic. Frankly, they're the one violating the rules.
It's both parties. And this has come up a bunch. So a number of our clients who are hiring us to deliver these virtual workshops are talking to us about how in these like remote work settings, everyone needs to dial down their judgment and dial up their empathy. So in the past, I think a lot of companies saw empathy as a nice to have, but now it's becoming this must have when you have to keep your workforce engaged and productive when they're on like Zoom calls all day. So I can see you asking yourself, what does improvisation have to do with empathy? And I was talking to Ellis the other day and realized I've actually never told you the origin story of the improv games that Second City uses to this day to train its performers, as well as all these corporate clients we work with, right? I don't think I've told you that.
I don't think you have.
So in the 20s and 30s, there was a woman by the name of Viola Spolin, and she was a social worker working at Jane Addams Hull House on the south side of Chicago. And her job was to better assimilate immigrant children coming into her care. So she created all these improv games, these exercises that the kids would play together. Many of these are in gibberish or silent because the kids didn't always share the same language, but they would come together and they play the games and they would become ensembles and they'd communicate and collaborate and empathize with each other. Viola's son, Paul Sills, was studying at the University of Chicago at the time. He loved these games, so he taught them to his friends, Mike Nichols, Elaine May, among others.
Okay.
And that group, that group forms the first improvisational theater in America in 1955, which is called the Compass Players. By 1959, it turns into the Second City.
So the kids were able to find a way to communicate, even though they didn't share English or speak English very well.
Yeah, well, because we give off so many different kinds of social cues. And here's part of the problem with the Zoom calls, right? We forget all the different ways that we communicate when we're in person. You know, the way we shrug, the way we can look each other in the eye. You can't really look each other in the eye on Zoom calls. You might think you are doing it, but you're not. And I think we've all recognized that. So Viola just recognized that there's lots of different ways that we communicate. And so these improv games give us a whole toolbox of ways to show people that we care or that we need something. And so, you know, the heart of empathy is understanding and really, really feeling what someone else feels. And I think part of the problem we've got today is everyone wants it for their side, but not the other side. And the problem is we shouldn't have sides at all. We're kind of all in this thing together. And this ties to an upcoming podcast that I had with a guy named Bob Johansson, who also has a really interesting story. Can I tell you about him?
Please.
Okay. So this Bob is my first three-time guest on the Getting DSM podcast. He is a futurist. He was born in Geneva, Illinois, and he played on the University of Illinois basketball team in the 60s. And then he got his first PhD in religious studies at Northwestern. So he tells me the story that he was in his advisor's office at Northwestern talking about his future, and he picks up a brochure for a conference that's going to be in Washington about communication, and it looks interesting to him, and so he decides to go. But he had actually misunderstood the title of the conference, and he shows up, and it's a tech conference that is introducing the ARPANET for the first time publicly, which, if there are listeners who don't know what that is, the ARPANET was the immediate predecessor to the Internet.
From the University of Illinois, right?
Uh-huh. And Bob is just enthralled with this idea of what the world will look like 20 to 30 years down the line. And he even says, you know, he's not very good at living in the world that he's in right now. He's really good at trying to live in the world that's, you know, decades away. So he has this new book, and it's called Full Spectrum Thinking. And he's presenting the argument that to thrive in the future, we have to stop thinking in old categories and old labels. And one of the projects that he talks about that he worked on is this project with people with cerebral palsy. And he has a quote. He goes, "You always start with the person, not the label." And I love that. I love this idea that, you know, one of the problems we have is, again, this is a lack of empathy, that we need to put people in their boxes, put them in their labels. And as Bob says, categories lead us toward a certainty, but away from clarity. They're not usually showing us the whole truth. And to get that whole truth, we got to look a little deeper.
We don't just do that to people with cerebral palsy. We do that to senior citizens. We say, well, you're an old person, therefore this. And we forget that that's not the, the people are people.
But, and we do it politically all the time. And this, we're living in this refusing to see the other person as having a mind and a soul. And it is to our peril because it's impossible for people to work together if they're not seeing each other's humanity.
Are there any hacks, and I don't mean shortcuts necessarily, but I'm just wondering, what are the tools then to my naturally or conveniently being a little more empathetic, you know?
I thought you were going to ask that, because you usually do. Yeah, we have a couple improv exercises that we use to sort of practice your empathy. One of them is called last word. So we pair up two people to have a conversation, and there's only one rule. The rule is that the first word of each sentence that you say has to start with the last word that the other person said. Do you want to try this?
Sure.
Do you get it? So if I'm speaking a sentence and I end on the word orange, you have to start your response to me with that word orange.
Oranges are delicious, but I just want to talk about apples. But I guess that... Go ahead.
Apples are something that I had this morning for breakfast.
Yeah. Breakfast? I never eat breakfast. So I get it. But I guess one thing that this does, because I'm not sure what my original point was, so, and I didn't have one, but one thing it does is it does cause me to linger on what you were saying and thinking for just a moment.
Well, isn't that the point? It is forcing you to listen to the end of my sentence.
What's this new feeling I'm experiencing? Oh, my goodness. It's working.
But that's it. We don't. We want to sound smart. We don't want to appear like we're not, you know, on it. So we start planning our response usually about halfway through what you're saying, because I feel like I got the gist of it. But when you're improvising on stage with someone, you can't do that, because the last piece of information that they give you could be critical to the scene you're building together.
And for those of us who have the habit of cutting people off, that is a tool that we should value and practice. I'm going to cut you off here for just a minute there, Mr. Leonard. Come back and talk to me a little bit more about some skills that we can apply on Zoom calls. I have a question for you about how we figure out whose turn it is to speak and how we engage people who don't speak much on a Zoom call. Kelly Leonard joins us. He's a real smart guy who does a podcast on WGN Radio's platform. You'll find it as Getting to Yes And. But he is also an executive vice president at Second City, the improv comedy people. They do a going business applying those comedy skills, those improv skills, to organizations, to businesses, social service groups, the kind of folks that are meeting online these days, Kelly. Do you have any, and empathy is the theme of this conversation. I appreciate everything you've told us so far, but I guess in a way that's a transferable skill we need on these Zoom calls. What's a good way to manage one person and a bunch of people on a Zoom call?
So I think the first thing everyone needs to realize is this is a different form of communication. So the norms are different. We can't use the same norms that we had in our previous in-person meetings. So there's a number of different things you can do. When you're, you know, so if you're trying to avoid talking over each other, the thing that I am suggesting to a number of our clients is, if you've got a standing meeting every week, make someone the director of the meeting. And it should be a new person every week. And that person guides the conversation. So they, if they see that someone isn't speaking, they can sort of call on them. If someone's talking too much, they can kind of shift them away from there. And one of the great sort of side effects of this is it gives all the different people who are in your group a taste of what leadership is like. And running a good meeting is an art. And a lot of people don't do it well, and it's often because they don't get practice in it. So another thing you just have to do on these calls is practice different forms of communication. So one thing that my team has been doing is if they've got something to add to the question, to the conversation, they raise their hand. And I think we have to recognize, too, we're kind of on TV when we're in these Zoom calls. And so our physicality, we should be paying attention to. And you can actually be very effective if you move yourself around and so, you know, catch someone's eye. So we do a raise hand. You can also use the chat feature. So if you want to, you know, type in something and everyone keeps the chat, you can know that someone has something that they want to add. But yeah, it is, Zoom fatigue is real. I get it. But I also think we're just not used to it. And we need to practice more. And when you practice more, you get better.
Well, I love that visual cue thing. I've been in too many Zoom calls where I feel bad for one of the little squares that's
yeah, right.
Patiently listening, but they never. And sometimes they'll lean in and they'll start. But then, you know, Chatty Cathy, she's rolling and you can't get past her. And by the way, if you're Chatty Cathy, you got to do a little assessment. I suppose these people, all of us, are this way, quiet or talkative, in in-person meetings. But it seems to be a little more grading or a little more of an imposition when it's on a little computer screen. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. And the other thing is you're fighting for the attention of, you know, what's around you in your home. So if you've got kids or you've got pets or, you know, someone rings the doorbell, that adds a whole other, you know, sort of layer of stress that I think we have to acknowledge is harder for some people than others who aren't dealing with little kids. Mm-hmm. So the major idea around empathy is to truly understand what everyone's situation is. And so that's another thing that we're very much doing at Second City is we do a check-in with everyone. Like, okay, where are you at? How are you? I know some people, like my friend Elizabeth and I, we're just saying we have a real hard time Monday, Tuesday. But by the time we get to Wednesday, we sort of roll right through. But I've got other people I work with who Thursday and Friday just nails them down. So it's good to know that because you can kind of adjust when you're dealing with that person.
Hmm. What are you going to say, Ella?
A short while back, we had a Zoom meeting. All of the programming staff did. And I get really nervous in Zoom meetings because you always have to be on. You never know who's looking at your square. And, you know, you look at other people's, everyone's squares too. Well, I bust out laughing. And I was on mute, but you can see when someone is laughing, obviously. And the reason I was laughing was so juvenile. And as I was laughing, I couldn't stop. But I kept thinking to myself, please stop laughing, please.
Right, because everybody else might be reading it as though you're being dismissive.
Exactly.
Or mocking them or something like that.
Exactly.
Maybe then you just need to sort of slowly lower yourself out of that little square, out of view.
Turn the camera off. You can turn the camera off. People do that.
Yeah, oh, no
true.
Kidding. Especially if you got to go to the bathroom or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a normal thing. And I think it's and sometimes, look, this is a very vulnerable situation for everyone. So I think we have to excuse little things like something just happened. I mean, I've had that situation where, oh, I've got to get the door, because it's something important, some medicine or something. So I'll just turn the camera off. And then our team knows that that means something important happened. So if you need my input, just wait. I'm going to come back.
A friend of mine sent me an article this morning. I think it was in wasn't the Daily Mail, but it was one of the British sites, and it spoke about the level of stress that Americans and presumably people around the world are going through. I mean, some of us are diagnosable clinically, and it's like a third to a half of people are right now suffering from something that they didn't used to have, and that's how they're going about their days. So I'm championing your cause, or trying to, Kelly, that if you can find an empathetic bone in your body, a muscle in your body, today is the day to try and exercise that, isn't it?
Absolutely. I had to go get my labs drawn this morning. So that was my first time going to a clinic. And it is a stressful experience. And they were terrific. And everyone was masked. But you drive up and they come out and take your temperature before they even let you get out of the car to go in. I mean, it's a very surreal experience. And the thing I did appreciate is almost everyone I encountered, whether they were a patient or someone on staff, did the extra thing, like said, have a glorious day, have a beautiful week. I mean, everyone did that, and I'm like, this is what we need to be doing now.
Now, I want to say, did you see what I just did there? I use your last word as the first sentence of mine. I was just going to do a shout out, and I'm going to take more time to do this on another day. But I was complaining on this radio show recently about my experience with Comcast. Our internet's been cutting out, and I couldn't find people to help. Eventually, I've got human beings helping me. I have talked to a few people on the phone, and I've had a few people on two different occasions come to our house, and something's going on, and they're trying to fix it. It's not 100% fixed yet. The people have been so nice, so empathetic, so really, they go, oh, we're so sorry this is going on for you, and doggone it, this is a bad time to have intermittent connections. And frankly, they haven't even fixed it 100% yet, but now I'm a big fan. And I've always said this, Kelly, that if you get mad at Comcast or United Airlines or WGN Radio or whatever that company is, those are people. Those are individual people. And by and large, they're all nice folks trying to make a living and help you. But we sometimes forget that. And so when I'm railing against Comcast and then a Comcast person shows up, I think, oh, my God, what a swell person you are. And your company isn't doing a very good job maybe with my situation right now, but I know you're going to try and fix it. And do you see how my whole attitude just changed there, you know?
Sure. Well, that's a well-known thing of like, you know, if you have a problem, a customer service problem, and it gets fixed in a good way, that's how you create customers for life. Not just by being like, okay. It's like if a person goes the extra mile, you will then go the extra mile for that company.
Well, and temporarily right now, I don't even have it fixed, but I feel better about the company because they're being nice to me. They're attentive to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we got our son Nick a new computer for graduating college, and the first one crashed, sent it back. Second one had a different problem. Had to send it back, and he actually said the other day, he goes, I would be more upset about this, but the people are so nice, they are so sorry for this.
Right, and so none of us are perfect, and right now, it's really hard to be perfect, so if we can be, what's that E word you've been trying to train us on today here, Kelly? Empathetic.
Empathy.
Empathy. Life would go a lot better for all of us. Kelly Leonard's podcast is called Getting to Yes And. And if you want to do business with these people, that is, at Second City, have them help you or your staff do the sorts of things they do, what's a good way to reach out to you guys, Kelly?
SecondCity.com. Everything is on the website. Everything's virtual.
Okay. You still got long hair and a big smile?
Yes, I got both those things.
I haven't seen you in a while, man, but I'm looking forward to seeing you. Thanks for your time today.
Me too. Take care, John.
It's Kelly Leonard, who has long hair and a very engaging smile. What a nice guy, huh?